Okay, welcome back to Soul Practice, Raw Conversations and Real Practices. I'm Kathy Escobar.
And I'm Phyllis Mathis. And today is a little, I don't know, our walk was good, but we are both kind of deflated just by living in this world in the last week, as some of you probably are too. And we're not sure we have anything for you around that. But today we want to talk about these concepts in this book that I've been kind of obsessed with for the last 6 months. It's about brain laterality. In other words, the left brain and the right brain and how they work together and how that's like the answer to the screwed upness of the Western world, basically. And so I first just want to introduce the book. The book is called The Master and His Emissary, which is a title of a little parable that some ancient guy who I should know the name of, tells a story about this emissary who, no, this master who's wise and strong and nourishing, and the people under his care are flourishing, and so the community or the kingdom is growing, and pretty soon the job is too big for the master, so he trains these people to be emissaries. And so the emissaries go out and kind of establish their own little, way in which they teach the people and they care for the people just the way that they were taught and the way the master has cared for other people.
And it's not like a slave master or
It's not a
anything.
slave master,
Yeah.
it's
I just
like
wanted to
a guru
clarify.
master. Teacher, And so,
Sorry. I just wanted to help anyone
Western,
out
Eastern,
there.
Western.
Yes.
So, the problem is then the emissaries are get tired of serving. They don't want to serve according to the values of the master. They're not even really that equipped. Like, they do a good job as long as they're serving, but then they're like, hey, I could do a better job. So they take over and they start trying to run things themselves. And so this is the analogy of the left brain, right brain problem that we have. So the idea is that the right hemisphere is the master and the left hemisphere is the servant.
So just that is like
Just
a big shift.
that.
Yes.
And so if you're into learning all about neuroscience, the arts, the history of the world and civilizations, then by all means read it. But it is like an almost 600-page book. And the last probably, oh, I would say 30 pages is the bibliography.
Wow.
So this is no slouch,
No, I don't
but
want to read it. I only
yeah,
want
don't
the
read
just
it.
give me the
Don't
Cliff
read it.
Notes.
Don't
I
read it.
want the shortest
Yeah.
version
And that's part
with
of the
the most
problem,
core principles.
like the bicameral brain, they call it, like this two sides of the brain. People have been fascinated for quite a while. In fact, I did in grad school, I did a paper on it, and the literature was really sparse, but there were all kinds of things. So I was pretty excited about it back in grad school. But then it got really popular, and then it became reductionistic, and then it became like your horoscope. Are you a left brain person or are you a right brain person? And the left brain, and then just minimized, and they left
That's so
brained the
true.
crap out of the whole concept. And so then it got a really bad reputation. So now it's hard even for neuroscientists to talk about it because it just makes them look like woo-woo horoscope people or something. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of skepticism about it. So this is why the book is so thick. Anyway, I want to just it's applicable to us now because a lot of what we're struggling with individually in organizations and in this country is the dynamic between the two halves of the brain, and not just individual brains, but our collective kind of way of being. And so I'm going to just go through the characteristics that I ran through the AI, honestly, or summarized 600 pages, please, and came up with a really good summary of the basic concepts. Is that okay?
Yeah, did you literally put in there that's like it synthesized the
Yeah, I
600?
said
That's crazy.
summarize this book, and in 10 seconds it had
That's
both. Yeah, I
insane.
know.
The
I
whole
know.
thing
And
is kind of
it
freaky.
didn't really
That
get
is one thing
developed.
I want to talk about this season is AI.
Yeah. So we'll start with the right hemisphere, which he calls the master. So what I loved about it at first was he just said, the right brain is superior to the left brain. I'm just going to say it. It's because it's holistic, it's relational, it's grounded in lived experience, and it's attuned to the world as it is, not as it can be abstracted. So it's not about theories, it's about the world as it is. So observing the world as it is. And all of that right there is what we're all about. It's what we've been about for the last 4 years on this podcast. And it's kind of like describing the soul. So all spirituality and soulfulness and wisdom and values and relationships, all of those are centered. All those skills and aptitudes are located in the right brain.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So it's attention style. The attention style of the right brain is broad, vigilant, and open to novelty. So it sees the big picture. It embraces ambiguity. So and embraces messiness, context, and it explains why everything is so weird. Oh my goodness. I don't know where I got that. So it pays attention to the big picture and can hold paradox and ambiguity. Its relationship with time is that it lives in the present moment and experiences time as flowing and continuous, not in a straight line. In regard to language, it understands metaphor, tone, and implicit meaning. So all metaphor, when you're talking about
This is like,
this government is a shit show. That's a metaphor.
a circus.
circus, yeah. All of that is metaphor, which a picture paints a thousand words, and a word picture really gets to the nuance of all the meaning that you're trying to convey instantly. So that's why we use metaphors. It recognizes the embodied relational self.
Oh, jeez,
Right? Does that
crazy.
sound familiar to you? And it values creativity, empathy, intuition, and moral understanding. Its relationship with reality is that it sees things as unique and alive and engages with the world rather than trying to dissect it.
That is
Right?
really good.
So that's the right brain.
Okay.
And is the master, and you can see why. You need a part of you that's paying attention to the whole and putting things in context so that you're understanding the whole picture on things. So the left hemisphere is called the emissary because it is really designed to serve the interests of the whole. And it is focused, analytical, and reductionist. It's designed to manipulate and control, often at the expense of nuance. So,
There you go.
in the Four Gateways lingo that we've done before on this, that's the magician. So, its attention style is narrow, targeted, and detail-oriented. It perceives things by breaking things down into parts, and it prefers certainty and categories.
Oh my gosh. We're left-brained out.
We are. It views time as linear and measurable. With regard to language, it handles syntax, grammar, and literal meaning. So it doesn't do metaphor, analogies,
No
or
nuance
stories,
and
or even stories. With regard to self-awareness, it constructs a conceptual abstract self. So in my book, when I write about the soul and the ego, it's the ego, basically. It's a constructed self that's based on a self we think we should be or should have. It values utility, logic, consistency, and control. And it treats things as static, known, and represented, he calls it, or re to represent something means to represent it,
Oh,
to
I
break it down and
got
represent it in its
it.
parts.
Okay.
And it likes symbols more than living entities. The key insight from him is that the hemispheres aren't just processing information differently, they're creating different worlds.
Wow.
The right hemisphere is meant to lead, offering a rich, embodied understanding of reality. The left is meant to serve, helping us act on that understanding. But in modern society, the left hemisphere has taken over, leading to a world that is rigid, disconnected, and mechanistic.
Oh my
Does
God.
that just not describe everything
It
that we're going through?
describes everything right now. And it's so, it's kind of, it's sort of, it feels scary
It is kind of scary.
because it's one thing in our own little lives. There is one thing in our own little lives and operating out of our left brain. And I kind of remember when the right brain stuff became like at least more conversation about it and brainstorming. It was in college, and there was just like a lot of things in that mode on right and left brain, and then naming which was your dominant and all these things, and brainstorming. That was like br the brainstorming
Age of
ideas,
brainstorming.
yes. And so, but hearing that right now with the rigid, disconnected, and mechanistic, I think were those the three words. There's somewhere something like that. Gosh, we as systems, as wider systems, are just so like this. And as you were talking, I kept thinking about Pound Wilhelm stuff on
The
living
living systems.
systems versus hierarchical systems. And so hierarchical systems have pressure, dominate, force. And then living systems are nurture, cycle, grow. And so it all just like fits into this paradigm so well. And it makes me actually gives me hope in a good way of like, that's all in us. So like, 'cause the brain is so powerful, and then the collective brains are really powerful. But they're just being, they're so limited. And so all of our solutions, all of our ways, and all of our solutions are only coming out of this one part of us. This was never meant to lead. I think that's what
Yeah, that's I
that
was
was
just going to
my
say
big
that. Yeah,
takeaway.
it's like a great servant. Like we can't live without our left brain. We need our left brain to help us like narrow down to the elements of things, to really understand and analyze things, put things in order. You know, all of that is something we definitely need. The problem comes with when the left brain doesn't refer back to the right brain's wisdom. So it's meant to kind of go, okay, I'll figure that out. You know, here's the output. And here you go. You know, put that into context and figure out what to do with it. It doesn't do that. The left brain will become, it doesn't like any uncertainties. And it doesn't, it only, it's called self-referential because it only believes the stuff it already knows. So it's very resistant to things that are outside of what it already knows because it triggers anxiety. The unknown triggers anxiety for the left brain. So it'll kind of, in an effort to figure things out, it will just discard data or ideas or experiences that it doesn't already understand. And so then it curates down to something that can be analyzed. And so and then it wants to control and predict. And so it can easily get too big for its britches, like we used to say, and then gaslight or dismiss the signals coming from the right brain that are like, There's something about that I don't really think is right. And it's sort of like when you do blah, 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 and they're like, yeah, we don't do metaphor. So you don't know what you're talking about. Here's the data we discovered, and here are the conclusions based on the data that we have. And this is how we should do things. And so it tries to take control of systems and ways of thinking and succeeds. The other thing, when you were saying we have it in us, you have both left brain and right brain, is that as civilizations, we've kind of moved back and forth from a right brain dominated society into a left brain that kind of helps and enlighten, some of the murkier parts of the right brain, and then it gains control, and then it so civilization he McGilchrist will go through the really the history of civilization of Western civilization from before, BC and just analyze how
So
civilizations
interesting. Like
swing back
Margaret
and
Wheatley
forth.
has a lot of faith in
Really?
this space too.
Okay.
Yeah, different, I think, but I think it aligns because her big stuff is definitely like we are gonna have to access like the wisest, most expansive part of us and then move those things into action. And those come from your left.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's like that's that part of needing both.
Yeah. So what's supposed to happen is they hand it back to the right brain or to the wise people who are like, thank you so much for this information. We're gonna powwow about choices that need to be made when we're considering the whole of things. And so it's supposed to do that, it's supposed to go back and forth, but it tends to swing in dominance from one to the other. And so modernity was a huge left brain thing. And then postmodernity, see, I thought that was the great thing, postmodernity.
No,
But
this.
actually, what happened was it became even more left brain, and they just started cutting ties with any kind of grounded knowing. So we create our own reality. There is no such thing as true. There's no such thing as whatever. So then all these, the picture I have in my head is any kind of guy wires or anchors to some basic values or knowings or experiences or history or wholeness or relationship or systems just gets
Got pulled
snipped.
up.
And so now we have left brain medicine. Think about how dangerous that could be. We have left brain government. We have left brain education. We have left brain corporations. We have left brain, I don't know, governmental agencies.
Faith communities.
Faith communities, left brain faith communities. I was once told when I was talking, I was like, this was ages ago, and I started getting into contemplative prayer. And I was talking to a friend of mine who had been to seminary, and he's like, I don't know. Because I was talking about letting go of thinking. Yeah, I don't think we should really let go of thinking.
know. In faith,
In
that
faith,
part is just like still
it is
super
like the
comical to
stupidest
me.
thing ever.
You
But
know, yeah.
yeah, but when you can see now how we landed where we landed in some ways, because when the left brain takes over, it goes further and further away from things of the soul, spirituality, holistic practices and ancient wisdom. And it just kind of then becomes all those things become suspect because they can't be analyzed, that you can't really say, well, how does it work?
Well, and it makes me think on AI, which I do really want to have a conversation about. I think it's really important in this context. So, like, talk in another episode, more conversations about it because it's a real thing. It's part of our life now. It came in fast and it's going to not do anything except for accelerate. But that's a piece of AI is that you can't teach it that part yet. I don't know what'll happen in the future, but it is left brain. It's taking data and synthesizing it. And I know you want, there's like a little part, it builds in some nuance, but not really. It only does like with what it has. It only does with what it has. And that's what we're all relying on also. And so like we're just getting it from all fronts, I feel like is the biggest point. And I just want to come back to something that you said, because I think this is where a lot of us live, because this was actually my night last night in the middle of the night. And I am a good sleeper on the whole. So sleeping is not my biggest issue. Sometimes when I have too much in my path, too full, too many hard things in a lot of different directions, I don't sleep that good. And so you talked about how your left brain gaslights the right side. So the things that I was thinking last night, when I know things, certain things are on the right path. I'm not off, and I've tested it with my wisdom circle. I've tested it, like I'm not even just relying only on myself. Okay. And still I had this going back and forth, and just like tons of doubt, tons of circling around, tons of what's wrong with you? How come you can't figure it out? This is gonna fail. Like all these like really not good things. Like the critic was really strong in the middle of the night. And I ended up actually applying the things that we talk about here because it always helps me. And that was something on that wheel of awareness of just like pausing. And I was like, I fucking need to change the channel right now. This is so dumb. Like I knew it was dumb. And that's a little piece, but it felt true. And then I could feel the gaslighting part is I can feel a disintegration of my solid ground really fast. And then I could feel it in my body. I can feel it in how I'm moving. I could just feel the whole thing. And it was literally all gaslighting. And I just feel like this is the place where a lot of us live. And it takes a lot to pull it back. And then there's a cost. That's the piece about the gaslighting cycle, individually in our own brains, when we're in relationship with people who gaslight us, those of us that are. And then we are, I don't really have that in my strongest thing right now, which I'm really glad. But in the wider world right now, we are, this is like the great gaslight. It's so strong. And so all of those, whatever like degree, individual, next system out, or the big system, it all makes us disintegrate and lose our bearing and our solid ground, our north, our no, I know, our sense of security in who we are and what we're doing. It makes us doubt, and it really takes a toll. And so to get it back, and I'm in a teeny bit better place this morning from our walk, but I told Phyllis, like, I just could feel the erosion of some of my solid ground. And it's been happening. It's not, it wasn't last night, but whatever it was viscerally and like in my body, I could just really, really feel it. And then I did kind of walk through, I changed the channel, I went back to bed. I went back to sleep. I went through all the five senses things. I don't even know which ones I made it through, and I made it back to sleep. And then when I woke up, I kind of had this awareness a little bit what was happening. I wouldn't have put it in the right brain, left brain. That wasn't in my, but I was kind of like, yeah, my thinker is just going nuts. And I got to come into my sovereign. And that's what I love about how all these principles, ideas, theories, whatever, they kind of all lead to the same place and they integrate so well. And that's what, to me, when you talk about the master and the emissary, is like the master really is a lot of sovereign energy, but it's pulling in the em it needs the emissary. It needs support. It needs moving the things we know into like grounded reality. So we just need it all. And gaslighting ourselves really sucks.
It does, and so many of us do it, and we're taught to do it, and we just do it kind of automatically as we're trying to grow up in the world. So The left brain is really valuable and it's trying to help us. We just kind of knee-jerk toss it over to the left brain and then don't call it back because we've been taught to trust information, facts, analysis, parts of things. And you can't make a whole just by collecting the parts. Or you can, but it's dead still. So when you get the parts figured out, you hand it back to the more reliable side of you. And then you, and then that part says, "Thank you very much. You can go play now, something else, and we'll get this figured out." But there's a breakdown that happens, and we get stuck in this swirling left brain because, you know, we're trying to help ourselves. We're trying to solve a problem, but we've not been taught how to ground ourselves in wisdom and how to take the facts or the info and run it through our other ways of knowing. We've never been taught to trust those things. In fact, we've been taught not to.
Yeah, blatantly taught not to. Do not
Explicitly.
trust yourself.
Yes.
You can't trust yourself. Your heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. I mean, that's in the Christian stream, but other people have it too, outside of
Well, and
Christianity.
this is kind of dumb, but how many like crime shows have you seen where the investigator is saying, "Well, I have this hunch," or, "Well, my gut says," and somebody says, "Oh, your gut? Well, what does your gut say today?" Like, how many conversations like that have I seen on TV in the last 50 years?
It's
It's
so
just,
true.
but it's right there in a nutshell. It's not like now we have to, but okay. So bringing it down to us right now, I guess, we need to have practices and reassurances that there's a part of us that knows more than we think we know. And so I like the left brain, right brain thing because it gives me better language to talk about the soul. Because I'm always like, "Well, what is the soul?" People are like, "What is the soul?" I don't know. Well, it's something, you know. It's the right brain is the processor of the soul. The place where the soul speaks, you know, the place where we are attached to relationships and higher things and deeper values and the big picture and the sovereignty of it all, like the whole of it all. And so I like breaking it down that way because I notice when I'm talking to people or I'm listening to them, I'm like, "Oh, they're doing the swirl in their left brain. So how can we help them kind of stop, ground, and then support the knowing that's on the other side?" And the problem is we've been so saturated in left brain thinking and left brain processing that we don't have the skill, like we don't hear the right brain very well. And so then we think it should work like a vending machine. "Oh, I'm not going to think in my left brain. I'm going to think in my right brain now." So I stick a quarter in. "All right, here's the question. What's the answer?" That's just the left brain doing that for you too,
Yes, with different language.
with different language.
The
And
image I had really quick of
yeah.
when you were talking about how like pulling it out, the right brain pulling it over, like I literally had this image when you were talking of which is like kind of throwing a rope over there or like a little one of those carabiners like clip in over there and let our right side like pull us in. Because like if it can pull us over and we can see the bit like and rest there, it's just that and it wants to all the time. I think that's what I think that was my biggest thing. Like it's like a helping hand. Like, oh honey.
"Are you
Oh,
tired yet? You know, I gotta
honey. Like, yes, I
come
get
back. Come on
it. Just,
over."
I got you. I got you. And so, anyway, I didn't mean to cut you
No,
off. So, there's a little image of right side.
come on back. Come
Here,
on.
sit at this table. Come on, come on.
So, in some ways it's just the same
Yeah.
things that we've been talking about for years, like how do we shift out of the crazy and back into some sanity? How do we learn to trust ourselves? How do we listen differently to the parts of ourselves that might really know some things? How do we exist peacefully with the unknown, or not knowing? How do we rescue ourselves when we're caught in these in Isuckville, in these traps of circular hypercritical thinking, those kinds of things. So we have a lot of practices that we can do, but I just wanted to, there's some simpler ones. Because sometimes when we talk about our thinking, we just are like, okay, let's think better. So we should shift into some ways to some new things to practice. And one of them is just step back. Like when you're swirling, just step back. The change the channel thing is also there, but sometimes you could just kind of go, all right, let's just get some perspective. Let's just wait until we can see the whole picture. Let's just see where this thing that we're spinning around on might fit into a bigger picture and let it rest. Because if you let some things rest and stop the spinning, you can sometimes, oh, the solution will appear sometimes out of the blue. So,
Step back, love it. Did you have a different one?
oh, just
Yeah, just say them real quick.
all the other ones. If you're caught in the cycle, you change the channel. Just get up, walk around, get in your lived experience because that's in your right brain. So go for a walk, take a drink of water, read a book. I don't know, something else than keep on swirling, thinking that by spinning faster and harder and collecting more data that you can solve the problem. Well, if you're spinning and you're feeling bad, like anxious or angsty, that's a sign that you're stuck in thinking that's not helping. It's trying to help, but it's not working. So stepping away and stepping out, or if you just think about stepping over to the right, or actually probably be to the left because the right brain controls
I don't
left
want to
brain
even go
problem.
there. I
Yeah,
can't
but
right now.
yeah. But in your head,
Yes,
just think about,
opposite.
okay, I'm going to shift into my right. What is my right? Sensory data,
Well, the was there anything else you wanted to well, kind of as we wrap up, I think I, in connection with people and holding space for people, I did a Four Gateways with one of my spiritual direction people this week. It was really fun. I love the Four Gateways so much. And it all fits into this so, in such a huge way. But that one of the biggest things, and this is what I needed in the middle of the night, and this is what I always come back to, is that I have everything that I need. And it doesn't mean I need people. Like, but that's, I have that, like, but I don't need to go seeking, searching, trying and relying on bad sources. I think that's probably the best way. The sources are bad. The information that's swirling around us are bad. The mirrors that they're trying to make us look into and reflect ourselves back through, bad. All those things are bad. But I know, and so my, the two things are, what do you know that's your truest true? What do I know is my truest true right now? What do I know beyond all the crazy? Like, and what I just going, I know, or when I'm working with alongside people, like, so we have to pause. That's what I love. You can't do it in a flurry. We cannot do it in a flurry. The flurry has to be like a step back, just exactly like you said, and like drawing in. And even if that wisdom that we can draw on only helps us make it through that next hour. And that's our other part. See, our left brain wants it all to be solved and all the anxiety and all the dissonance and all the not, all the not knowing, all of that to be resolved quickly. And it doesn't, but it doesn't work that way. And these are very complex things in our own stories, and then certainly in the story of the world. But if we can like continue that cycle of like pressing out and dropping in, pressing, like coming out and dropping in, and really feel that in our bodies. That's why the embodied stuff matters so much. It will not drop into our head. It won't drop into our head, but drop into our bodies. And that the right brain can hold the complexity. And we need to teach our bodies and our minds to that emissary can be trained better, really, to just say, yeah, I can hold complexity. I don't have to have it all. That's what I like on magician, the embodied movement is that 360. And so you kind of move around each way when we do the embodied practice and when you're walking through the four gateways. I really like the moving around both directions, the ability. I'm like kind of moving, spreading my arms and just like rocking back and forth, say, I have the ability to see the whole picture. If I pause, wait, process, not rush. And I feel like that's where my right and my left can come together. But ultimately, it all takes a lot of practice. And I just want to say we are under a lot of threat right now. So, our right side is kind of, it's already underdeveloped for a lot of us. I mean, I've got a lot of right brain in me in general to get away from soul stuff for just a second. But the truth is that the world we live in is so left that we're always pulled that direction. And so somehow learning to embrace this for this season, whatever that looks like, it's a great tool. I love it. I learned a lot today.
Yeah, good. Yeah, well, I'm a little obsessed, so
Yeah.
I'm glad I got to share.
Yeah. So The Master and the Emissary by
Ian McGilchrist.
Ian McGilchrist. And so for those of you that want to re read 600-page neuroscience books,
Or find him on YouTube.
yeah,
There are a lot of interviews
little
that he makes,
pieces.
but he's like a tweedy old English gentleman,
Yeah.
that's highly intellectual and genius level. So you might conk out, but I like
Yeah, for those of you who
the
like
little
to nerd
YouTube.
out. Yeah, I don't really like to nerd out. I got what I needed from today. I got I'm like simple. I got my 3 points. And they're not really three, but what I liked that I want to say, I can kind of put it in some other frames. And then that helps me. Frames I already have. It's not new. It actually just like expands what I already have. And I love that.
Yeah, me too.
That's one of my favorite. Okay. So we feel better. Do you
Yeah,
feel
I feel
better?
better.
You guys might be going, we don't feel better. We haven't, but I hope you know what? I hope always when you listen, you gather one little thing you needed. That's it. We don't care about the big picture of like, oh, it needed to all make sense and you grasped it all or wanted it all or cared about it all. But if there's one little thing in there that you just needed to ponder, that's enough to help. So, quick thought for the soul.
Well, I think you said it not that long ago. You have everything you need because a part of you is actually there functioning. And so we don't have to be frantically looking outside ourselves.
Yeah, that was kind of my practice, honestly. And I'm just gonna say, pausing, press, move out and drop in. What does that look and feel like? Move out, whew, drop in to what we know to be
I
true.
like it.
All right, thanks for listening. We're gonna line up a few guests to hang out with us, and we're just grateful for this space.